Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I've been sitting with them forever. I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News. Welcome to a very busy Sports Reporters podcast after what we all agree as we were getting ready to do this today. Championship Sunday in the NFL feels like Final Four Saturday, which is always, to us, a better day than the final on Monday night. Doesn't mean we might not have a great Super Bowl. We have a dream matchup between Grandpa and Patrick Mahomes. But we start today with Tom Brady and the Bucks. I just feel like things kind of have worked out well for Tom Brady after
was a sound career decision.
Yes, but I just feel things have been going well for him since all those teams passed him. I don't know. You guys can debate that. But here he is at the age of 43. People have been asking me comparables to what this is. And my oldest son, Chris, said this yesterday. This would have been like if Michael, even though he wasn't as old as Brady, had decided to keep playing right after Reinsdorf broke up the Bulls and went somewhere else and ended up playing in the NBA Finals. This is, however this plays out now, just getting there is one of the greatest sports stories of all time.
Exactly, yeah. And I certainly never would have predicted it when they were 7-5, and you were saying, "Well, you know, they'll be damn lucky to get to the playoffs." In fact, I'd love to know what we said. I'd love to if we frankly gave him much of a chance.
I think the Patriots were 6-6 at the time, Bob. Yeah, so it wasn't right. Like the debate had been settled.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, not at all. But it's so complicated in my head because it's not as if he's been phenomenal. He's been good. He's been good. He's had great moments. He's had better moments than I thought he was going to have. It's the same formula that got him the first 9 times, which is other guys are doing damn good things around him. There hasn't been one time that he's had a great knock your socks off game. He's had the one great thing before this was probably the 28-3 comeback, but they were down 28-3 and he had the great 15 minutes. I'm just saying, it's amazing how he has plugged himself into things as well as much as he's carried people.
You're not wrong, but as somebody once said, or if they didn't, I'm going to say it, if you can't be great all the time in sports, just be great at the moments when it matters. And his timing yesterday was impeccable. Mike, first of all, hats off to you for saying, I go back to our previous podcast, and you said a couple of things. I'm not going to bet against Tom Brady in a game like this, and you were right. You said something that was an aside. I don't know if you even remember it, but you said, if I'm Tampa and I win the coin toss, I'm not so sure I'm not going to take the ball and try to score. Yes. Well, it turned out Green Bay won the coin toss and deferred, and that was a mistake.
Yes.
I'll refer to my own things last week. I said the only way that Tampa Bay would win this game is if they got out early in front and they put pressure on Green Bay. You're not going to come from behind in Green Bay against that team. So this goes back to my saying being great when it matters. He was great on that first drive, all right? And he took him downfield, and he threw passes with abandon and got them up 7-0.
And made third down after third down, Mitch.
One third down after another. Right. Third and four. Third and 9, third and 7 was the,
third and 14 in there.
Yeah, I mean, so that's when he needed to be great. And then the other time when he needed to be great, and I thought where the game was won, was at the end of the first half, which you had that moment where they get to, third down, and they bring out the punting team. Then they call a timeout. And they decide, no, you know what? We're gonna run something. At that time, it was 4th and 4. There were 13 seconds left, and they decide, okay, and mark this moment because when we talk about the Buffalo game, it's exactly the opposite. You know, there's playing to win and there's playing not to lose. 4th and 4, Brady was apparently the one who told Bruce Arians we should go for this. Because they were going to punt. They come out 4th and 4 and throw a 6-yard pass to Leonard Fournette, and they've got 6 seconds left. and they're basically at like the, you know, 39. So you figure they're just going to go for 4 or 5 more yards to a sideline pass and kick a field goal. And he goes deep downfield to Scotty Miller for 39 yards and a touchdown.
Using
and
that New York Jets defense, Mitch. Very interesting yes. to choice by Mike Pettine to have
yes.
that defense.
Which, like, let's just let the guy get behind me, and then let's see if I can run and catch up with it. That's not the way you play it. And that took the game from 14-10, or maybe 17-10, to 21-10. At that moment, I promise you, Aaron Rodgers, who recognizes this because that's exactly what he does to people, knew he was in a game. And when they came out and fumbled the ball to start the third quarter, and Brady immediately, one play, 8 yards, touchdown, it's 28-10. Now you have the Packers where you want them if you're going to have to beat them in Lambeau Field, and ultimately they did.
And you know what, Bob and Mitch, here's what I was thinking as Brady started throwing the picks later. And there's so much to unpack. That end of the first half, Mitch, you're exactly right. Instead of the Packers, is Rodgers doing a Rodgers thing and getting the league, they ran a crap drive there. That to me, that was so important there. They just ran a meandering drive. And you know, it ends with the pick with a pass interference that doesn't get called. Okay. Then it's 28-10. Okay. And then what I thought I saw unfolding was the reverse Patriots Falcons. I thought Brady was going to be on the other side of blowing a lead nearly as big, because I had the same reaction when he's throwing interceptions that I did watching the Falcons in that Super Bowl. Run the ball, kick a field goal. Get the hell out of there. And they opened the door. And guys, here's where I think the Packers lost the game. And we talk about it. It was nobody disputes that it was a boneheaded decision to kick the field goal at the end. Nobody's saying it was a good decision, okay? But when the Packers twice had the ball after two of those interceptions, and it was 28-23, and we don't even talk about the stupid two-point conversion, they twice had a chance to get the lead, and I believe if they had gotten the lead, they would have gone, and they just did. Rodgers, I love Rodgers. You guys know how much I love Rodgers. He did not make plays. They could not protect him. And to me, that stretch of the game is why Brady is going to the big game and the Packers are not.
Well, and five sacks. You know, the defense. Oh, right. The defense has carried them. I mean, it protected them the way it was textbook. The
defense
saved Brady from himself in that regard. No question about it. And we would be having imagine the dialogue we would be having if they had scored on those turnovers.
Three interceptions, Mitch. Six points.
You don't go to Green Bay and throw three interceptions and beat them.
And the Packers got 6 points out of them, Mitch.
Unless your defense is doing something incredible. And you know, when you look at the box score, this is one of those cases where you can just look at the box score, look at the drives, and it tells you the whole story. Look at the drives that ended in touchdowns for Tampa Bay to take a 28-10 lead. You know, a fumble on the very first drive for Green Bay that starts it. They scored a touchdown. It's 28-10, and then. Interception, interception, interception on 4 plays, on 6 plays, and on 3 plays for Tom Brady. Green Bay, you're so right, Mike, needed to win the game there. And yes, what happens in between? They punt, and field goal. Three and out, and a field goal. Now, let's talk about that, okay? Because we may all agree, but it's very significant. That's going to be debated in Green Bay history for a long time. The decision to go to a field goal, if you didn't watch the game for some reason, it was 31-23. It was 4th and 8 at the goal, 4th and goal at the 8. They had just tried 3 times to try to get into the end zone and had not succeeded. But follow my logic here, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Okay, you've got a couple of minutes left, a little more than 2 minutes left, and you've got 3 timeouts left.
And the two-minute warning.
And his figuring is, well, we'll kick a field goal because we're 8 points down. And if we kick a field goal and then we hold them and we use all our timeouts, then we can win it with a touchdown. Okay, my logic would be it's 4th and 8 and it's Aaron Rodgers. Okay, he may not have worked it the first 3 times. How many times have we seen Aaron Rodgers denied on 1st down and 2nd down and even 3rd down only to pull that play off on 4th down? If you score that touchdown right then and there, first of all, you might tie the game. You could tie the game with a 2-point conversion. Even if you don't, you're going to need another drive then to win the game, which is what you're basically saying if you kick a field goal. We need another drive to win the game. So you could win it, you could tie it on this one drive, or at the very worst, you're going to need another drive to win it if you don't get either, if you don't get the 2 points, or if you don't convert, because this is my other point. If you don't convert, you're giving them the ball on the 8-yard line with 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. The 8-yard line. Okay, so if you're so confident in your defense, great. Give them the ball back on the 8-yard line. Be confident. Stop them there. And then you'll get the ball to 50 with a minute left or less than a minute left. And you'll rely on Aaron Rodgers to get you in then and try to win it.
And Mitch,
I saw nothing smart about that field goal.
In the middle of what you just said, you touched on this was Blake Snell getting pulled out of the World Series, okay? But it's not as if they kicked a field goal, and then if they kicked another field goal, they win the game. Whatever happened, they had to score. Once they kick, they still have to score a touchdown, okay? And you're right, field position, and listen, this will haunt LaFleur. Until he ever wins the Super Bowl, this decision will haunt him, okay? And here's the other thing that's going to haunt Aaron Rodgers. He could have run for the touchdown on third down. I don't know what he saw then. And this is guy, what do we always talk about? His vision, okay? The play is right in front of him. Now, and here's what I think, okay? And you guys tell me what you think. I think he was so used to getting pulled down from behind in this game, he didn't know where the defense was behind him, and he was afraid to get pulled down from behind. But if he runs for the pylon there, okay, then it comes down to a 2-point conversion, which, by the way, it shouldn't have, because what were you guys thinking when LaFleur went for two, right, when all he's got to do there is make it 28-24?
I will tell you what I was thinking, but first we want to remind everyone that we are brought to you by our friends at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. I was thinking what you were thinking, what Mitch was thinking, what any sane, rational person was thinking. It's too damn early. You don't need this.
To start chasing that point. You end up chasing, Bob, you end up chasing that point for the rest of the game. But it mathematically, I don't care what his book said, it made no logical sense for them to go for two there.
Now, of course,
it didn't. But if he had run that ball, Mike, at the very least, he was going to get down to the 2-yard line.
Yes, yes.
You know, and then now 4th and 2 is much different than 4th and 8. So you're right. I mean, Rodgers can point to the coach, and he kind of did at the end. I was a little disappointed in Rodgers' stance on this thing, where now all of a sudden he's talking about, I don't know about the future. And I mean, 48 hours ago, Aaron Rodgers had never been happier, never been more content, never had more weapons, never had a better relationship with a coach. And then after one loss, he's like, I don't know if I'm going to be here. I don't know what our future is. I'm sending a message to management. And it was his call. It wasn't my call. It wasn't my call.
Oh,
he was clear to say. Okay, it wasn't my call.
But then wasn't my decision.
Yeah. Wasn't my decision. Then take responsibility for blowing third down, because there was that guy was not open. He threw into double coverage, and all he had to do was run the ball, and now you're looking at a different fourth down.
It would have set up such an unbelievable moment, them going for two, you know? Okay, and again, if they had gotten to the 1 or the 2, Mitch, you're right. I was thinking, if you don't get there, even if you can't dive for the pylon, You're going to take the decision. There would have been no decision to kick the field goal. And I just think Aaron Rodgers, who makes so many wonderful decisions in his life, made a terrible one. And I'll say this, okay? And again, you know what a fanboy of Aaron Rodgers I am. That decision was as bad as LaFleur's decision.
Yeah. Yeah, but one is made in the heat of the game, and the other is on the sidelines. And
It was Blake Snell on steroids. Okay,
as we're talking about it, it becomes even dumber. I mean, you know, if they miss the 2-point conversion on the touchdown, so what? They're still only, they can win it with a field goal.
Field goal.
You know, right. So then when you get the ball back again, you only have to get to the 40 or whatever to kick. They got a great field goal kicker. It's a totally different game. There's just tapping that field goal on gets you nothing. Gets you nothing.
But
you still got to come down and score a touchdown.
Let's go back to the end of the first half again. And on what planet can Kenny, I don't care what the defense is, on what planet can Kenny King let Miller get behind him? Okay? No, the only way they can score there is on that play. And so say, I don't care if he catches it at the three, the half's going to be over.
Yeah, I mean, when they're going for him, I say, oh, no, they got to go for a Hail Mary, you know, yawn, you know. And next thing you look at, wait a minute, that's not a Hail Mary. That's a very damn nice pass.
And that's, Bob, 9 years ago, January, Lambeau Field, a 15-1 Packers team, started to lose to the Giants when Eli threw a Hail Mary at the end of the first half to Akeem Nicks, who outjumped everybody, and the Packers started losing the game that day. No, that play had happened to that team in that place before.
Yeah.
All the stuff that we've added on here, just think about it, all the things, the different components that went into the construction of the victory or the construction of the loss. I mean, so much involved. No, there's no one thing, of course, but so much involved. It was another. What it was a great, fascinating game in that regard.
Oh,
no,
my
question.
God.
Here's another moment that we haven't mentioned that I thought was critical. At the start of the second half, Green Bay gets the ball. On 3rd and 5, they give the ball to Aaron Jones. He gets just clocked by Whitehead, fumbles the ball. They recover it. The Bucs go in for a touchdown on the very next play. Okay, that makes it 28-10. That's obvious. But on that same play, Aaron Jones was lost for the rest of the game. And Aaron Jones is a Pro Bowl running back. Now, the guy, was it Dylan, afterwards, was a tank. And did way better than you would expect, but they lost Aaron Jones on that, and the Bucs lost Whitehead, who was playing phenomenal for them, and now they're down on safeties or using backup safeties. And I thought, well, that when they started coming back, I thought that's that. Green Bay's working. Aaron Rodgers is working against two backup safeties. Why don't you just give him the game?
Oh man!
And
that defense
held them down. But that Mitch, moment, that play, that fumble, a lot of guys were lost for that game.
Mitch, that is a great point, because all I kept thinking is Aaron Rodgers is not doing enough to exploit a diminished defense. Okay, they can play without Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is a wonderful player, but Mitch, of course, they replaced him with a Boston College man. Okay, but here's the thing. The thing that we thought was crucial for the Packers became crucial for the Bucs. They got in Aaron Rodgers' face and put him on the ground, and the Packers did not get in Tom Brady's face and put him on the ground.
No, yeah, not at all. And one other thing I want to make sure we touch upon, because you if you take this out, there's no guarantee that they would have scored a touchdown, could have altered everything. And it was maybe the single best play of the day, and that's Leonard Fournette, that run.
Right. Yeah.
That run was spectacular.
Good point. That was a great run. He spins off.
20-yard run,
the
end zone. That's,
yeah.
There's no guarantee they're scoring.
And by the way,
touchdown.
Let me say this about touchdown Tom, okay? And yes, he did throw three picks. One was absolutely not his fault, okay? His numbers would have looked a lot better at the end of this game. They dropped a lot of balls on him yesterday, okay? He had a very, very, very good game. Okay, and again, you usually can't throw three picks in a big game and win it, but they managed to survive that. Okay, here's the other thing. At one point, I think going into the fourth quarter, the time of possession was like 30 minutes for the Packers and 15 for the Bucks or something. You know, my math might be slightly off.
Overwhelming. Yep.
And they had the Bucks defense on the field the whole time, and it didn't matter. The Bucks defense kept getting better.
I think the revelation of this game for me was the Bucs defense. I know they've been getting better as the season has gone along. I remember doing podcasts where I said, I don't trust that team because their defense isn't good enough. And, mid-season. And if that defense was good enough to shut down Aaron Rodgers as many times as they did, especially when it mattered the most, and in his wheelhouse at home, in his comfort zone, coming down the stretch in the third and fourth quarters, then they can play with anybody. And they hit hard. Guys like Whitehead, Devin White, who's just on fire. They're way tougher than I thought. And they may give Kansas City all they can handle there. I'm not gonna underplay them because they took on what I thought was the best running machine in football. Let me just ask you this sort of 30,000 foot question: did the better team win? Is the better team going to the Super Bowl, or was it just the better team on the day?
I think the better team on the day.
If it were 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5, we'd still rationally pick the Green Bay Packers.
Nothing was stopping the Packers from completing that comeback. Yes, you do get weary coming back from 18 points down. Okay, it would have been an epic comeback. Okay, but when they had their chance, as we segue into the next game, let me say something that I said to Tyler Brewer, our producer, before we started today. Mahomes ultimately played the game that the Packers needed from Rodgers. And Rodgers was not bad yesterday. He just wasn't good enough.
Well, before we go to the next game, I have one more question about this one, but a word from our good friends at Lucy. Hey, folks, have you ever been around someone trying to quit smoking? I have, and often they are a moody bunch. A lot of people have complained that there's just not a lot of nicotine alternatives around that taste any good. At least until they found Lucy. Lucy's nicotine gum and lozenges taste great, have 4 milligrams of nicotine in each, and can be discreetly enjoyed anywhere, at work, on flights, on the go, even in a mask. I have friends and family members who have been battling smoking forever, and they have tried every kind of thing, the patches, the other alternatives. This can make a huge difference in their lives. Try it yourself. Get rid of your cigarettes. Unplug your vape. Throw out the dip. And get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges and start 2021 off right. Plus, since you're listening to our program, The Sports Reporters, you can save by going to lucy.co and use the promo code REPORTERS, and you'll get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code REPORTERS at the checkout. Also, I have to give you this disclaimer warning. This product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code REPORTERS. My last question on Green Bay, Tampa Bay. Okay, we know that and there's plenty of time to talk about what Tom Brady has achieved here, going to a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback and in a different conference, which I don't think has been done before. And going with another team, which has only been done a handful of times before, and hosting at home, which has never been done before. But Aaron Rodgers is, Hamlet moment there. Is there anything to be made of this? I mean, is this one of those blows? Because Mike and Bob, we talk all the time about when you lose a Super Bowl, how you sometimes you just have a hangover, you never get back, the Atlanta Falcons being, Exhibit A. Okay, this wasn't the Super Bowl, but this was Aaron Rodgers' best chance. He said it himself. I finally got one at home. Is there more to this for the Green Bay Packers in terms of what this portends going forward?
Yeah, I think it is, Mitch. And again, I actually thought we would talk about this at the end of the show when we talk about Matthew Stafford and Deshaun Watson, maybe Matt Ryan. I don't know when he gets tired of being in Atlanta. But yes, do I think he'd leave? Yes, I do think he'd leave.
I think he'd leave looking at the example that was on the other side of the field.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah.
Except that the difference is, and I think it's a rather large difference, there was every technical, logical reason for Brady to say, I'm going to have a better shot at winning football games next year with the weaponry that is I will have in Tampa Bay than what would have been available to me in the 2020 Patriots. Rodgers, where's he going? Asked a question earlier, Mitch, about is this a one-off they'd happily play them again with the same team, and I'd happily pick them to win.
Where's he going? Yeah. What team is better set up that he's going to go anyplace else? I think it was just the loss talking, and okay, we'll find that out. But anyhow, all good stuff there. All right, it is time to move on to the second game, which was the Twilight Affair. But first, a word from our good friends at Geico. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing.
because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Okay, the second game did not have the drama that the first game did. In fact, the score was a lot closer than the game was. For me, this was, you know, we said this last week. I had this worry about Josh Allen that you got to crawl before you walk. And as great as he had been playing, he never had a moment yet in his career like this, a game like this, against a team like this. And he and that offense and that coach, you know, they had some nice plays in the middle of the field, but they could not turn it into touchdowns on the other end. I think they played scared. I think Josh Allen played a little scared, and I think the coach went way too often for field goals instead of touchdowns. You're not going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs at home with field goals. You got to go for it and just live or die with those decisions, and they didn't make enough of them.
And Mitch, after last year, all I kept thinking when the Bills did jump out to a 9-0 lead, oh God, the Chiefs have them right where they want them.
Right.
You know, oh, they've walked they walked into a trap, and once that kid gets going again, it is I don't even know. It's not LeBron, but he's got a little Steph to him, a little LeBron to him, and once he gets rolling, he just rolls over you. And Mitch, he's throwing the ball mostly to your favorite player, Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
but Tyreek. Oh my God! Oh my God! It's he is as much a streak of light as there is in this sport, and you know there used to be this ad they ran with the Yankees games on the YES Network. At any moment, a great moment. Boy, is that Tyreek or not?
You know what he is? He's a time bomb. He's a football time bomb. And if he only does it, comes off, you know, explodes once a game. Well, okay, it could be the biggest play of the game. No, he's just frightening. But my favorite thing about this that came out of this was the redemption for Mr. Hardman.
Yes,
you talk about erasing because there was no excuse for what that fumble. He had the ball, he had it. He told that was just a drop. It was awful. That couldn't have been a worse moment in that moment. But he certainly redeemed himself, and he's pretty.
Got so many weapons, Bobby.
Oh my God!
I mean, we'd be talking about that before the game. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous how many weapons they have.
And Buffalo seemed to try to play. Okay, let's not let them get big plays on us. But so they got a lot of 15-yard plays that turned into big plays. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to allow a 10 or 15-yard catch, the guy can just break free. And, you know, any small play to Tyreek Hill can be a big play, as was witnessed multiple times there. He just looks like he's running at a different speed. He reminds me when they do those sideline cameras where he's running alongside what they do at the Olympics now with sprinters. You know, when they sort of have the camera follow the sprinter and you can kind of appreciate how fast they're going. That's what Tyreek Hill looked like. He looked like he was just leaving the scenery behind. Only the scenery were other players. So he gets 9 catches. They went to him 9 times for 172 yards. I said on the last week's podcast, so I'll give myself a little credit, they don't have an answer for Travis Kelce, and they didn't. 13 balls for 118 yards. 13 catches, 118 yards. And Mahomes was off the charts. So what? My question is, what weapon did they stop? No. I mean, you know, they all those offensive weapons did everything they wanted. And that's what you got to pick your poison with the Bills, with the Chiefs, and you got to say, okay, well, we're going to shut down Hill. And they'll have to beat us with Kelce. We're going to shut down Kelce, and they'll have to beat us on the outside. But the Bills really didn't shut down any of those key elements. No.
How cool was that shovel pass, too? I love it.
No, it wasn't the no-look pass, but it was close enough. And by the way, after Travis Kelce has caught, 30 or 40 balls in this game, how does he end up wide open in the end zone?
Mike, I say this
last touchdown
all the time. I don't understand football defense. I mean it. And the guy, one thing you say, here's a guy that you have to say, hey, 87. I think it was 87. Keep your eye on him. Right? You have to have him accounted for.
Bobby,
you every single play, particularly in that circumstance.
Which is a game
ender. It's inexplicable to me what kind of defenses are employed in that league.
Mitch and Bob, when I used to coach Zach Lupica in basketball, I'd usually call a timeout about 2 or 3 minutes of the game. I say, okay, we've now identified who we need to stop. Are we all clear on this? And then we go play the rest of the game.
And I was thinking, unimpeded, unimpeded. Yeah. With no one would in, and it went in. It was like well, you, social thing, distancing. It's like they were social distancing him.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, I can answer that a little bit. I'm not, you know, not the world's biggest X and O, but when you have a tight end who some of the time is blocking and some of the time is just blocking and then rolling out into the flat, you either decide, okay, we're going to shadow him and we're going to put one guy on him, which throws off all of your defense because now you got that one guy, you know, he's going into different zones and you don't know if you got two guys in one zone, who's supposed to take what. It can get very confusing. Guys like Travis Kelce or when Gronk was at his peak, they kill you defensively because you don't. They're not wide receivers. They don't just line up all the way on the far end of the field and you just run with them and try to stay with them as they go. Or if they cut across the field, you say they do. They do little curls. They go out in the flat and they stand there. They go out and they cut right. They cut left. They cut right. They cut left again. There's no preparing for it. Travis Kelce just keeps his eyes on where Patrick Mahomes is going, and those two have worked together so well that they've got this chemistry that you just can't predict. And so you really can't orient a defense around trying to stop a tight end who does all those things during the course of the game. You just like I say, you pick your poison and you say, we'll cover their wide receivers. And if he gets the ball, we have to limit when he catches the ball. We have to stop him when he catches the ball. The thing about Kelce is he catches the ball and then he keeps going. Mm-hmm. And so he adds on all those yards because he's quite fast for a guy his size and he can bowl over anybody. But it's really hard to orient the defense around stopping a tight end.
And here's the thing. We've now watched the game, okay? And the Bills became everybody's fashionable pick. Not everybody's, not us, okay? Coming into this game. Once the Chiefs got rolling yesterday, did you have any thought that they might lose this game? And think about this.
No.
We're talking about Hardman. We're talking about Tyreek. We're talking about Kelce, okay? The quarterback made this game 29 for 38, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, look routine. He made that game, he made it look as routine as Steph Curry making threes from the outside. That's how good he is. And I'm telling you something, I'll be fired up to see the young old matchup of quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. As great as Tampa Bay's defense was yesterday, I have no idea how they're going to stop the Chiefs in that game.
Well, they need a lot more. They need to stop a lot more than even they had to stop with Green Bay. Although Green Bay had a lot of weapons, and that's why, you know, that's why, and we'll have plenty of time to analyze this. But if you look at what Tampa Bay did against New Orleans and Green Bay, those are probably the two teams outside of Kansas City who have the most offensive talent in various places, right? I mean, New Orleans has got it all up and down the field with receivers, with quarterback, and with running back in Alvin Kamara and other guys. And obviously, we know what Green Bay has, 3 Pro Bowlers at 3 different positions. Now, Kansas City's going to be another example of that. I mean, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, these are the trio that you've got to keep your eye on there. So I'm not going to you know, bet against them because of what they've done, but it gets harder at each level, Mike. You're right. Each one that they're going up, they're dealing with a more efficient machinery. And the Kansas City's machinery is just, I mean, they're not only talented, they're clever. They're clever. You know, they run plays that you don't expect. And they, you know, and Patrick Mahomes, is, you quoted his stats, but remember, like 71 yards of that was a little tiny pass to Tyreek Hill, who he then took off down the field, and that's 71 passing yards. So sometimes numbers can be misleading, but the biggest number is no picks, no mistakes. And you can't say that about Buffalo. And Buffalo... And here's what I want to say about Buffalo and people who are predicting them. Never predict a team is going to be great or going to win a game because they've got a wide receiver. Okay? That's just the worst way to do it. I watched it with Calvin Johnson for years here. Well, they've got Calvin Johnson. So what? You know, smart teams know how to shut down one receiver. Stephon Diggs had an unbelievable season this year. But if Stephon Diggs is your 1, 2, and 3 in your passing game, all it takes is a smart defensive coach to figure out, okay, we're going to neutralize that weapon. And Diggs at halftime had 2 catches for 12 yards. And by the fourth quarter, he had 4 catches for 28 yards. He had been neutralized. And without him, Buffalo didn't have enough other things to go to. Quite frankly, guys, I thought Buffalo should have run Josh Allen way more than they did. He was their best rusher. He had the most yards. When he starts taking off downfield, he's got a speed that few quarterbacks have. He's not Mahomes running left and right. He's not even Aaron Rodgers running left and right. But he's pretty damn good running straight ahead. And I would have tried to do that a little bit more and run him as a weapon because they took Diggs away.
By the way, when you look at this game, okay, and we've taken a broad look at the two teams that are left standing in the National Football League. Our old friend David Israel made a great point on Twitter last night. What is everybody looking for right now in the NFL? They're looking for the wonder boy, hot assist, you know, coordinator. Okay, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay, and the Chargers just hired a kid off of his staff, and Matt LaFleur is a young guy, and you know what the age of the two coaches in the Super Bowl are? 68 and 62. 68 and 62. And that is Andy Reid, and that is Bruce Arians. And so experience still does count for something in this game. And it's very rare when the Wonder Boy ends up winning it all.
You know, I'm glad you just made one statement about all these coaching vacancies that have been filled and annually the whole dialogue. And the one thing that people I just cavalierly assume that is just wrong, and which is, Mr. X is a wonderful defensive coordinator. Ergo, he deserves to be a head coach. And we hear this every year about different people. And if there is one thing that anybody who follows sports has learned over the years, no matter what sport you're talking about, all the four big ones, is that just because you're a great lieutenant does not necessarily mean you have it in you to be a great general. And right. and we see it time and again. So don't assume that because Mr. X and Y and Z are coordinators who aren't getting jobs that there isn't a reason and that people, you know, it's not a given if they get that job that they're going to be good at it. That's all. Sorry.
But, you know, that's a really good point, Bob. But what happens in football is it's often countered by, why do you keep hiring these same guys who have been head coaches before? You know, you need to give the new guys a chance. And of course, then it comes into race as well. And, you know, and that's a fair point. But in terms of giving people opportunities, just consider that Andy Reid got fired by the Philadelphia Eagles. He was fired. He was there for 14 years, and he got fired. Now, he got fired after a 4-12 record. But he was immediately hired by the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's been nothing but brilliant with Kansas City as they have built up to this team, including making the decision to draft Mahomes and move their picks around to do it. So he didn't lose his ability, but sometimes you just stay in a place too long. They don't want you anymore. They're not listening to you anymore, whatever the reason is. But you could have argued after 14 years with the Eagles, well, why should someone give Andy Reid another chance? He was 4-12 with the Eagles. Why keep hiring the same old guys? And look at what he's done with the Chiefs. Everybody would love to have him as their coach right now. So well, you bring up a really interesting point between veteran coaches and young assistants.
No, the whole point is the qualities that go into making a defensive coordinator do not necessarily translate into the qualities. It's so much more complex being a head coach than overseeing one-third of the team's units, okay? That's all I'm saying. This doesn't necessarily mean that you are capable or qualified or that you're going to be comfortable being the CEO as opposed to being the chief aide. That's all I'm saying.
Or you could do what the Lions do and just hire a guy who hasn't been either offensive or defensive coordinator.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, the Giants did, too, and it looks like it might work out. We'll talk about that.
We'll get to that.
And you know what? We'll talk in the run-up to the Super Bowl. The whole subject of the lack of black coaches, head coaches in the NFL is a meaningful one because there's so many layers to this thing. And you know, I want to throw one question to you guys and then we'll have a broader conversation in the run up while it's still football season. Okay. But before we do, a word from our friends at American Giant. Remember the term American made? A lot of businesses can't say that about their products. In 1960, 95% of all of our clothing was made in the good old USA. Today, it's only 3%. But you can still buy American-made clothing thanks to American Giant. Your clothes are made here, worn here, and the money stays here. American Giant has built a 100% USA-based supply chain partnering with factories, workers, and communities every step of the way. It's not the cheapest way to make apparel, but they believe it's the better way. I am wearing one of the t-shirts right now. I have a hoodie that I already, that's become my go-to. This stuff is great. I go through a lot of my life wearing t-shirts, and this is the top of the line. American Giant makes clothing that's durable and made to last. Try it for yourself. You'll feel the difference. Get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. That's 15% off when you use reporters at American-Giant.com. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Do you think, say Eric Bieniemy does not get a job this time, okay? After he's been knocking off on the door, and Matt Nagy, who was an assistant to Andy Reid, goes and, you know, has been mediocre at best in Chicago. Are these teams, and again, I don't want this to be true, but I don't know what goes through the minds of the owners and the general managers. Are these teams, do you really think that somebody would say, boy, this guy checks all the boxes, but I'm not going to hire him because he's black? Do you actually think that goes on?
God,
do they
not
think they have a potential Super Bowl winning coach in this interview, and then they say, no, I don't think so because he's black?
Well, obviously we hope not. And I can't imagine that we're at this point in 2021 that would be the case, that there'd be a guy running owning a team that would have that plantation mentality. I can't imagine. I mean, it's appalling to even think about the possibility.
You know, when Marvin Lewis doesn't get hired, if someone is saying, well, he's not getting hired because of his skin color, I think you got to look at his record and you got to look at what he's done. And he coached for 15 years in Cincinnati. And I'm hoping, look, we're not making the decisions. I'm hoping race doesn't come into it, but there doesn't seem any indication of that. And there's not, you know, when someone is, now we'll see with Bieniemy. I mean, you know, how many more, what else does he have to do to prove that he's good at the level that he's at now?
There's one job open. And it's in Houston, and nobody wants to, I don't know if he wants that. That's the other thing. I don't know if he wants that job. Maybe he does. Maybe he thinks he can talk into Deshaun.
Yeah, I know, anyway. But he's not getting any. He's 51, right?
Speaking of Deshaun and quarterbacks, let's talk about this a little bit before we head down the stretch to parting shots. So a number of quarterbacks are now available who, when we last spoke, were question marks. Deshaun Watson clearly is sending signals that he doesn't want to be in Houston anymore. He doesn't like the way the front office has acted recently. He has a no-trade clause, so that's going to make things interesting there because he doesn't have to go to any team that they want to send him to. And then right in my backyard, a word shocked everybody here over the last few days that Matthew Stafford is going to be traded from the Lions. Now, I know this to be a fact, that this is a mutual thing, that Stafford is okay with this and even approached the Lions about it. You know, he's too good a guy to say, I want out, or, you know, you got to trade me. He did it, you know, by saying, listen, if you guys are going to do a rebuild and you think that you need to, you know, trade me to do it, I just want you to know I'm open to that, which was not something that he was open to in the past. And around here in Detroit, it's just continued depression because here was the number one pick in the draft, the reward for the Lions' 0-16 season, and he has broken every record in Detroit history. He is, you know, the best quarterback that's ever played the position here in Detroit. Sorry, Bobby Lane. And he is the best player on the team and the most dedicated player on the team. And the most dedicated and best player on the team goes to management and says, if you want to trade me, you know, go ahead and trade me. That's pretty depressing. That you know, that means he understands that this team's not going anywhere and they're going to do some sort of total rebuild. And boy, oh boy, with all the openings that are out there, guys, I'm telling you that Matthew Stafford, if he goes to the right place, could have his best days ahead of him. If he takes over in New Orleans, for example, if he goes to Washington, if he steps in for Philip Rivers in Indianapolis, I mean,
Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Yeah, there have rarely been this many starting quarterback openings because of the retirements of guys like Rivers and maybe Breeze and things like that. That this is probably the time to do it.
I think this is going to be the Stafford Deshaun Watson dramas are going to dominate the NFL offseason, and then we'll see if Aaron Rodgers is serious about that. You know, I don't know how they do it, but again, all these guys have contracts. So, you know, I submit two words to you, James Harden. If somebody really wants to leave, they get to leave, okay?
What did Houston do to deserve this trauma? The city of Houston, the town, the sports fans. Right, if he does it, I mean, it looks like it's inevitable, right, guys? It's inevitable.
Yeah.
He will not be playing, taking snaps for the Houston Texans next year.
No, I mean, and the Jets, you know, everybody's on fire in New York and New Jersey that the Jets are in play for this guy. I keep asking, if I were the Giants, I'd say you can have Daniel Jones, you can have Saquon Barkley, and we'll give you a draft choice. Just let Deshaun come and play football for us next year. He's that good. And
what about Darnold in the? I mean, are they wed to him? Do they owe him a lot of money?
No.
So they're happy to part with him.
Well, I don't know if, listen, you know, it's, Mitch, how many times have we had this conversation? When you draft a quarterback high in the first round and you're wrong, it usually sets your team back five years, okay?
Right.
And they took him with the third pick in the draft. And again, he's in a terrible situation. He's in an awful situation, but you apply the same eye test to him that you do to Daniel Jones. And you just are looking at a future great? And I don't see that with either one of them. If they've got a chance to take him, you know, they also have to make a decision whether they want to take a quarterback with the second pick in the draft.
Right.
No, the Jets are very transactional at this point.
Yeah. But you look at what happened with Arizona and Josh Rosen, and then they came back and took Kyler Murray. I mean, you know, and they're a team on the rise. Sometimes
they didn't
you
wait
can,
5 years. That is
no,
exactly
they,
right.
They didn't wait.
They
waited
the
one.
Plug. Yeah.
They right.
The
and they traded him. And you know, sometimes you can jump off the ship just at the right time. But more often than not, you're right, Mike. And we're seeing it in Detroit where they drafted Stafford and rode him. And now, you know, he's still got plenty of good years left, but they don't. And you know, he's got 2 years left on his deal. And I understand if I'm him, I'm saying, okay, I'm going to be 33. If I go to a winning team and I go to the playoffs for two straight years, maybe even go to a Super Bowl, and I'm out at 35, I'm a free agent, I'm going to get a lot of money. If I spend the next 2 years with the Lions going 4-12 and 5-11, and then I'm 35, everyone's going to say, you know, well, you know, what's he got to show for? So you can't blame these guys for, especially when they start getting to certain ages, to wanting to be somewhere else if they see that the team is going, because that's how they get evaluated. Like it or not, they get evaluated based on the success that they had with their team.
Well, it's I want Matthew Stafford to get another chance. I want Deshaun Watson to get a better chance. And again, if you're Aaron Rodgers right now, and I'm not, listen, they went 13-3 and 13-3 and made it to the end of the conference championship game both times. Okay, so it's not like he's in a burning building, but I think he's looking at what Brady did and thinking, could I go do that if they send me to Washington? If they, you know, all these jobs that we say that would be good for Matthew Stafford, they'd be just as good for Aaron Rodgers.
Any job would be good for Aaron Rodgers. I just don't buy that. By the way, in anticipation, I'm answering the question that you haven't asked yet, and it will be and getting a jump start on all the narrative of the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes was 6 years old when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Bowl. It's not.
All right.
It's,
well, there's going to be a lot more to talk about that game as we go on, and we will do that. Right now, however, time for our parting shots, and this week's parting shots are brought to you by Lucy. Are you trying to quit smoking or know someone who is? Check out Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges and start 2021 off right. Visit lucy.co and be sure to use our promo code reporters and you'll get 20% off.
Now, parting shots.
The 2021 Baseball Hall of Fame voting results will be announced on Tuesday evening, and I am in the unusual and uncomfortable position of hoping the two people I voted for don't get in. The Curt Schilling thing, you all know. He is a qualified borderline candidate with political leanings that are not solely conservative, which is fine, but which are laced with hatred and vitriol toward various groups, which is not. I have voted for him since he's been on the ballot, but his defense of the January 6th insurrection gives me pause. And we also have Omar Vizquel, whom I also vote for. After my ballot was submitted, we learned that he is facing serious domestic violence charges. Now, a few voters actually asked to have their ballots rescinded, but were told that wasn't permissible. I had already decided I hoped he would just wouldn't get in, and then I wouldn't have to worry about it. Oy! Voting for the Hall used to be fun.
Wilt Chamberlain won two NBA titles, one in Philly and one in L.A., despite putting numbers in the books that still give off a beam of light. Aaron Rodgers has won one NFL title. I'm not comparing him to Wilt, even if he's done Wilt-like things. But there is that same star-crossed quality to his career. Wilt didn't come close to winning the way Bill Russell did. Rodgers hasn't come close to winning the way Tom Brady has. One year, the Packers were 15-1 and gave up that same kind of touchdown play to the Giants at the end of the first half they did yesterday to Scotty Miller. There were the times when the Packers lost coin flips before playoff overtimes and Rodgers never got to touch the ball again. And then when he might have had his last best chance, and against Brady, one of the greatest playmakers of all time, didn't make enough plays. Brady goes to another Super Bowl. Rodgers doesn't again.
It's rare anyone ever talks about a Detroit Lions press conference, but people are still buzzing from new coach Dan Campbell's rantings last week. At one point he said, quote, "We're going to kick you in the teeth, right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off." Critics laughed, and I understand that. But they should understand that Campbell played in Detroit for 3 years, including the 0-16 season. He later said that press conference was for Lions fans only. And the line those fans will remember is this one, quote, "This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised. I can give you coach speak all day long. None of that matters. You've had enough of that shit." Yes, we have. And if he can stop that shit and turn this into a winning team, he can rant all he wants.
Hey, Mitch, you know what Levitard used to call him in that brief period when he was the head coach of the Dolphins? Man Campbell.
Coach Headbanger comes to mind as well. We will be back on Thursday because we do the Sports Reporters podcast twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. You can get it on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, any place you get popular podcasts. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a rating. Please leave us a comment. We always appreciate hearing from you. Until we talk to you again on Thursday, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom saying, have a great week.